Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Game Pass Grab Bag, your weekly podcast for games in the Game Pass collection. Bring you three new perspectives from Skull Range. I am the son of Rome for this episode. Andrew, with me, the son you wish you could forget, Keith.
Hello.
And the daughter that, of course, dies at the beginning of every sort of Roman-esque movie, Liz.
Hey, guys.
And this week,
always
I picked
the
game.
Forget or quit or... Well, add a new tag to it. It's...
Well, I had a different tag for Liz, but
go ahead,
so anyways,
say it.
Liz is
go
here.
No, I said Liz is. Well, I know what I said. Liz. Okay, you want me to say Liz's original
yes.
tag?
Oh, geez.
Okay, Liz gets your permission. And with us, the daughter that you wish was a son, Liz.
And I said rude.
In context for, well, I guess more Spartan, but it makes sense in context of Spartan. But anyway, I picked this week game. I picked Rise, Son of Rome. And I picked this game because this is another game in a category I like to call games people need to play because I want a sequel. In this category, I also have Titanfall 2 and Sunset Overdrive. But yes, Rise, Son of Rome. This was an Xbox One launch game. It is a third-person action game where you are playing a son of Rome. Well, you're playing Marius. You know, early off in the beginning of the game, his family's murdered by barbarians, and so you are on a warpath to kill the barbarians. But, of course, it's not always straight cut like that, and there's a bunch of mysteries along the way. But, let's get into this. Again, an Xbox One launch game. Keith, what did you think of it?
I have like a weird feeling about it, honestly, because I know we try not to date our reviews based on when they came out, but I think I would have absolutely loved this game if I played it day one. Playing it now, it's great. It really is. It's a lot of fun, but I felt like it got a little bland, and that I attribute to maybe the timing of it, that, you know, it was more about showing off some graphics and other things like that, which it does a very good job at, but I think it just falls a little bit on the overall gameplay, and so I was glad that it came to an end when it did, but it is a game.
I am going to give this, obviously, a definite game since I picked this game. Like I said, this is a game. Yes, it's obviously, this isn't like the best game in the world, but this is a game I honestly legitimately would say just about anyone should play. I do agree with you on some of your points, Keith, but with your point, this game is about six and a half hours long as a beat. It's not a very long game. You can obviously knock this out in a weekend, but it is a fun 6.5 hours. Like, I agree with you, Keith. I think by the end of it, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, like I've kind of seen everything there is here, whatnot. And yeah, then it's over. Very much kind of like Titanfall 2. I mean, well, Titanfall 2, I wouldn't hate it if it was a little bit longer. But yeah, this is a definite game. I think you should obviously really check this game out. It still holds up.
I didn't finish it. I'm at the last chapter.
Yep. But which is very your style.
I'm really tired today. I'm going to give it a definite game. I think that for the length, I really enjoyed what it had to offer, the story, the combat, the gameplay. And while I was playing it, if it was a longer game, I was thinking of all the things that could be added to it.
Yeah.
Different elements and stuff. But for how short it is, I think it's great. Like, I thought that there was plenty to do. So for me, like, I really enjoyed it. And I will say I did predict the story. Like, I guessed everything.
I mean, if you pay attention at the very beginning of the game, like, you kind of know what's going to happen.
Well, no, but even at the beginning when, like, you see the mom, I'm like, she's going to get it.
So, ooh, mama's gonna get
freezing.
It.
So freezing. No.
Oh, that's she's gonna get murdered.
Okay, thank you, Liz. Okay, you're declaring okay. What it is.
Got it. No, you're not wrong. It's not very subtle foreshadowing in a lot of ways. So I won't argue that. But it also, it's very Roman. Like, I don't know. I just feel like every story that's set in Roman times, somebody is backstabbing somebody.
I mean,
nobody is to be trusted.
It's like, I mean, the most famous one was Julius Caesar. Like, it's like the most infamous backstabbing.
Yeah, they reference it in one of the achievements. Et tu, Brute. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it obviously makes sense. I mean, the Roman times was a pretty cutthroat time. But yeah, no, the story, I really like the story. So as I said, you know, you, as Liz kind of said, your family gets murdered at the beginning from barbarians, and you are on a warpath to kind of bring justice to the war of the liberty and justice and democracy to the barbarians. And, you know, there's obviously more twists and turns that goes on with this. I will, to me, yes, the story wasn't like, whoa, but what's so good about this game is the performances. Like every cutscene, I thought is like conveying it so well. Granted, if you've seen just about any like Roman Hollywood movie, a lot of the stuff is kind of cliche, but it's done so well. The fact that this game came out in 2013, it was a day one Xbox One launch, and this game looks so good, and the voice acting and the actual capturing of it is what compelled me with the story. Mm-hmm. I really like the story because of it.
All right, though. Let's pause for a second. 2013. I'm not going to sit here and ooh and
wait, I just paused my audio. Are you talking about the audio?
Yes. Good. Please do that. But no, like, I'm not going to ooh and ah over the quality of voice acting in 2013. Like, it's not like in 2013 it was like, oh, we figured out how people should actually speak. Voice acting goes back to, you know, the radio in the 20s. So, like, I'm not going to be impressed, and I will be, but I'm not going to be like, well, because it was 2013 and they did such a good job, that's just, wow, I can't believe they did that good of a job in 2013. That's a weird point. That's all I'm saying.
Really? Because I feel like there's so many games we're playing that both you and Liz have a thing with teeth. I'm going to tell you, did you guys have issues with teeth in this game?
No, but what character do teeth have to do with voice acting? How many?
But you always do that. You always complain that people's the voice capture or their movement isn't good.
The voice capture of their mouth, like the mouth movements or something like that. I'm talking about voice acting. I'm talking about the words coming from what you hear with your ears, what I'm doing right now, but I'm not acting. I'm doing it in real life. What, this has been a thing, yes.
I agree with both of you, because for me, like, even games now...
Wow, we'd have loyalty, Liz. Should always agree with me.
There are games now where I'm like, that is not the right voice actor, even if they're talented.
Yeah.
It is hard to fit a voice to a particular face, to a particular character. And I think, like, it was done so excellent in this game. But I also, like, I haven't played in as many games as you have to know, like, 2013 versus now. But even coming out now, there's a lot of games that have terrible voice acting.
Yeah.
And so, that's my point. So that's not a time thing. It's just voice acting is sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. But it's not like, oh man, to think that in 2013 they were able to find voice actors that did a good job. Like, that's a weird point. That's all I'm saying. Now, if you're talking about the graphics quality of those, I was absolutely impressed. But that's kind of getting ahead, and I wasn't going to jump to that. But I do think graphically, you could have told me this came out a lot more recently than it did, and I would have believed you.
I think too. So I mean, the main character Marius. Am I saying that right?
Marius.
I'm going to butcher every single one of these.
They wanted him to be like Mario. It's the Xbox version, so they named him Marius.
I was invested in so many of them. Like, I actually, same with, I'm probably gonna say it wrong, Vitalian.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah, that's probably right. That. And I loathed one of the evil sons. Like, they actually really got me invested. I was like, I really want something bad to happen in this.
Which one? The purple one?
Yeah.
Or Commodus? I only remember Commodus.
Basilius?
Oh yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's the sociopath one or psychopath, whatever which one it is. Yeah, I really didn't like that guy, and it's so weird watching like towards the end you have to fight like a gladiator, so you're in this like arena and stuff, and I could not imagine wanting to see that. Like, don't get me wrong, like I wanted terrible things to happen to that man, but I still wouldn't want to watch it. So I'm thinking about like all these people who are just seeing these, a lot of them innocent people, just like fighting to the death.
Yeah.
And like cheering and getting excited. I'm just like, that's gross.
I mean, I know I'm with you, but it's also like, I could totally see it happening.
Oh, like, yeah, 100%.
I mean, when rich people have nothing else to do, they do gross and disgusting things.
Well, I mean,
like, I think it's weird when people do like dog fights and stuff like that.
I don't think it was just the wealthy who participated in watching those.
Well, they're the ones who threw it, and it was just, you know, the plebs could watch it.
But yeah, I think that I like the, I don't know, the time sake is probably a lot of it. But what I thought was interesting, I don't know if it's historically accurate. In my mind, gladiator battles were, you know, they just put them into an arena and they, you know, tried to kill each other, all that. I didn't know the whole like reenactment business they were doing in this one. If that was a real thing they did, that's, this makes it a little more interesting.
Well, no, I don't think they had like the stage settings going up and down.
No, no. Well, they did. Okay, they did a little bit.
Yeah. No, no. I'm just teasing. I know what you're saying, but like, I mean, like, because it was intricate props and stuff where they're like burning things down and all that. I didn't know that either. Is that actually a thing?
Yeah. No. There actually is historical like evidence that they actually even reenacted ship battles in the arena. They actually legitimately would get the triremes and actually do a full ship battle. I mean, it was like a 1v1 ship because, I mean, it's not that big of an arena. But no, they would do actual like set pieces. Obviously not this intricate. Like some of them are like straight up forts. And like you guys said, the panels are dropping in the ground. Granted, there is proof that they had open trap doors in raised platforms, but obviously not to this extent.
Yeah. I mean, I figured that was a little bit further than what it was. But I you know, with some air of truth, the at least like battle reenactments and stuff like that, I guess that makes it a little more interesting because it's almost like, I don't know, it's like us watching a movie about World War One at that point.
Yeah,
obviously people aren't really dying in the movies, but
I feel like there's
some do,
unless Robert De Niro is producing it.
Yeah. directing.
I feel, sorry, like there's this weird disconnect between the beginning of the game and like the last couple chapters, because in the first couple chapters, like he wants revenge. He's like bloodthirsty. He's angry. And he starts to like feel like, you know, I've seen enough of this. Like, yeah. But he's like constantly fighting the good fight, doing what he thinks is right. And then the second half, you have these weird, the gladiator thing. You have these nude scenes. Like super sexual. It was sexual. One
nude scene.
No, but all the weird stuff was at the end of the last couple chapters. Like it went from like you're in the jungles and you're sailing these ships and it looks like you are like your character is the commander of an army. Like you're it actually feels like that. And then all of a sudden it's like you're going to all these weird places and there's boobs in front of your face and like, and then like, they're like, you know, poisoning you in like an arena. And it just like, I just feel like it went real wild the second half. Like,
so I know it's been, you know, a couple months since we graduated high school. but I think back, I think back on like literature classes and when I had to write stories, and in my head, I would build these fantastic stories. I was like, wow, I have this really cool idea. And then I would sit down and I'd start to write it. And you
put boobies in them too, right?
Well, naturally, always was. My very religious school was very promoting of nudity in our literature. We were always encouraged, the more explicit, the better, actually. But I would, you know, come up with this whole big plan in my head and I would start writing, you know, maybe the first page of it. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And then all of a sudden I go, I don't really know. Well, I guess it's time to wrap it up now. And then you just write down a bunch of stuff and you finish the story only because you have to turn it in. If I didn't have to turn it in, I would have just given up. That's what really would have happened. But I had to turn in something. So then I just wrote a bunch of stuff and none of it correlated because I had a start and I had a finish and I didn't care if they made sense. And that was sort of what Rise did. Like it was building to something where you go to Britannia, you have this whole big, you know, battle and you're trying to promote it. And then all of a sudden you just go back and you just kill Nero and that's the end of the game. And
well, spoiler alert now. Thanks, Keith.
Don't get me started on that. Cause the achievements spoil that. And it's not even a secret one. That is an unhidden achievement that. Where it's like kill, you know, save Nero and then kill him. There's another hidden one that I will tell you, or I won't say about, but that one bothered me. Probably you too, Liz, maybe. I don't know. No, you probably didn't get to it. It's in the last chapter. Anywho.
No, but I saw the spoiler, but I'd already guessed it, so I wasn't upset about it. Because in the achievements, I never look at achievements, but I was like, oh, I wonder what these ones are like. And this week, it actually did have a spoiler, but I guessed it. So.
But yeah, It's like it all of a sudden it shifted gears and it was like, well, we just got to wrap this up now. And there should have been so much more in between him talking about traveling back to Britain or back to Rome on foot, effectively, because he got left behind. That's a long, long trek. Maybe that's Rise too. I don't know. But there's a lot of things that could have happened along the way there.
Yeah.
I did look up the characters because I couldn't remember any of their names. But it said like whether or not like they lived or died or whatever. And I'm not going to, maybe this is what Keith was talking about with the achievement, but I did find out about, like, you know, somebody. And I honestly don't like games that it just like, they really just do dirty to all the good guys. And so for me, like, I was kind of bummed.
If we're talking about the same person, it's another place where I think there's just absolutely no development. It's a person that you interact with one time. They make up this weird relationship between the two of you. And then you interact with each other one more time and that's it. And they're like, oh, well, could have been.
I feel like you're now complaining that the game's too short.
Well, because
in a weird way, I'm not actually.
Well, because for me, like when I was playing it, like especially towards the beginning, I was like, I wish that it had more like RPG elements, like I could interact with people and make decisions.
That would be cool.
And then also, because like, I mean, you do get to like look for the Vista shields or whatever, but there are so many things like combat wise, like because you're not really, I mean, you're upgrading some things, but it's not like you're finding new weapons and all that. But I found the characters in the story so interesting that if they had expanded it in those different ways, I would have loved a longer game. But just the way that it is now, I think they did a good amount of time.
Well, I guess Liz should have played Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I feel like that's what she's describing now.
Honestly, because that's sort of what I'm thinking too, is like this is a bare bones Assassin's Creed without any level of stealth. It feels like it wants you to stealth at quite a few points, but you can't stealth. There's no stealth.
No, this is like old school God of War. This was Xbox version of God of War.
Yeah, I guess probably, but there's no, well, it's weird. So there's no mythicality, but there is, because you keep getting brought back to life and then the gods are interacting, but you don't have magic powers. You don't have any magical weapons. You're just, you have Damocles' dagger, but it doesn't do anything. It just
The focus ability, we slow down time and start pummeling people.
I just put that as a video game dynamic. I didn't know that I was actually slowing down real world time in my game. I thought it was just a game mechanic. So maybe I'm wrong.
Mine didn't work half the time. the right bumper, the focus.
Yeah.
Like half the time, I'm like mashing it, and I'm like, I have like 32 hits, and it won't work. And it happened like half the time.
It's not about hits. It's about how much focus you have, which is the white bar under your health
bar.
No,
when you get to like a certain amount.
No, that's the Burning Eagle.
What's the Burning Eagle?
If you get Burning Eagle, you can basically instantly execute somebody when they're at full health. It's like doing a crit.
I don't really know how that works.
I got them confused. I was like, because the slow-mo, it happened when I hit right bumper, though.
Yeah, that's the focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so I thought it was when you got to over 10, because it worked no, like, that's most Burning of the Eagle. Time.
That's,
and like, then,
that's crit.
So you just have to like have your focus.
Yeah, do you never notice somebody would have like a red skull for an execution instead of a white one? That was it. You could execute somebody who's at a higher health. Because when they're at low health is when it's a white skull. If it's a skull that's like with a cracked, that's an environmental kill.
That's a bummer.
I also think you were doing it. It wasn't broken. You were probably still doing it.
Yeah. I'm glad that you said that because it irritated me. I'm not going to knock points off for it, but like I was
sounded
like
you were about to.
I mean, I would have been broken. But I also thought there's another thing that like hung me up. I only did it once because I caught on, surprisingly. But with the gladiator fights, if you didn't do the execution, you failed. So you can't just kill the person. You have to do an execution because they want all the excitement.
Yeah.
But the executions weren't that exciting. It wasn't like, you know, Mortal Kombat. You know, it was just like...
Well, they I think are cool at the beginning, but this game turns a bit into much of a quick time event. Every time you get someone low, you have that icon. You got to hit right bumper, and then it's a quick time event. You hear the X or and Y. And just, that got a little tedious.
The enemies, like, you're seeing the same. And I mean, they do change a little bit.
With, no, there's like there's like three enemy types. They just get reskinned.
Yeah, they get reskinned. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then,
I think you said it best, where it really becomes a quick time event. Because I was going to ask, I don't want to assume in a bad way, but I'm going to assume, Liz, you played on the easy difficulty.
No, I didn't. I actually played on the one above easy.
Okay. Well, and the only reason I was curious.
Which is still, I think, easy.
So it's great just job.
Easiest.
It wasn't the easiest.
But the reason I was curious was, like, did you find yourself not executing as often? Because, like Andrew was saying, it kind of became a quick time event of a game. And that was sort of my issue.
I did it all the time. And it was very, but it was more forgiving. Like, there was a couple times where I accidentally hit. Like, why instead of
X? There's, like, no penalty for screwing up.
Yeah. It still does the execution once it's engaged. You just get less bonus XP or something like that.
I did it all the time, though. I did try to go to the easiest difficulty. It doesn't let you change mid-game. I don't think I tried because I am the laziest gamer in the entire world. And whenever there's, like, you know, waves of enemies or, like, what happened was it was that... Boudica. And I beat her, and then then she was like, oh, go get him, when she, like, ran off. I thought her fight was so annoying, and I tried to cheese it, didn't work, and I was like, I don't want to fight her again. And so I tried to switch it, and then it didn't work. So then the next day, Andrew was working and couldn't help me, so then I waited. And then he had to work again. So I was like, I gotta do it. And then so I started playing, and I was able to cheese it. I got her in a corner and just did, like, the power X. It didn't work for me the first day, but I do not like repeating. Like, there were times where I died, and it left me exactly what like where doing? I... Repeating? Stop!
I didn't even catch it. I was like, what?
I knew. And then right when I... Oh. I knew there was a trick there.
You should have hit him way harder than that.
Domestic violence. I am going to get canceled.
I love your delay. Sorry, but anyway, you don't like repeat a fight.
Oh, yeah. There's sometimes where, like, the fight would leave me right where I left off.
Yeah.
And I was so grateful.
Oh.
But there was, like, times where it's like, oh, like, save the people from, like, the burning cages, and you have to redo that. I'm like, I didn't have to repeat things a crazy amount, but even if I had to repeat it one time when there was more than one wave, I didn't want to do it.
See, yeah, so I agree with you, and this is why I'm going to say to people, if this is your first time playing it, do not start this game on Legendary difficulty. It is a slog. So I beat this game originally already. I'm pretty sure I own this game. But anyway, I beat it a long time ago, and I remember I loved this game. And I saw it was on Game Pass. I was like, this is why we need to do it. But when you boot up the game, so like I said, this is an Xbox One launch game. And if anyone remembers the Xbox One, it had, like, these tiles, like, in the menu, like, they're the interface, in which you could kind of see that this game was kind of adopting as well with its menu. It had different tabs with, like, these tiles on it. When you boot up the game, you might see if you had the Xbox One, what I'm talking about. But anyway, the game, you have two experience points, one for multiplayer, one for single player. So even when you restart a game, it's kind of like doing a new game plus, where you still have your progress, your character level that you had. And so that's why I was like, cool, I'm going to play Legendary now. I already beat this game before. Cool, I have a huge health bar. I beat the first level. I got halfway through the second level, and I turned my Xbox off. And when I came back, it deleted my upgrades, but it saved my position in the game. I don't know what happened. So I am halfway through a level, and my health bar is super tiny, and I got one hit, and I was instantly dead every single time. So I literally had to keep grinding the same area over and over again until I finally could get a decent health bar to just progress in this game. I don't know why it just randomly deleted my experience progress midway. So, yeah. And this is also kind of a tie with the stories, because I'm surprised Keith didn't mention this. You can't really skip cutscenes. Like, there's some you kind of can, but not really. So as Liz is saying, if you die in a point and it gives you a checkpoint, it always plays an animation usually before that checkpoint. So as Liz said, soldiers being burned. Maybe there's a fight going on. You have to listen to a 10 second dialogue of, hey, guys, let's go get them. And you can't skip it. That was driving me insane. I'm like, I am sick of seeing this scene. Like, I get it. Let's just go. But yeah, legendary. It just takes like two or three hits and you're dead. It's really frustrating.
That's pretty brutal. I just have to point out, well, I guess two things that are all tied together is that Liz referred to herself as a gamer, a lazy one, but she did refer to herself as a gamer. But what I really more wanted to point out is that you actually proved it by saying you found a way to cheese the game. If that isn't a full-on gamer move, I don't know what it is. Like, screw it. I'm going to find a way to break this game until I can beat it. Yep. You have done it, Liz. You have succeeded. Congratulations.
Old Liz would just go, oh, I guess I'm done with this game.
I'm just waiting until Andrew gets home.
It's so weird that, so when that happened, I was thinking Mortal Kombat. You know how, like, when you're playing against a sibling and you get them in a corner? And
well,
furious?
Mortal Kombat 1 and 2. They got rid of that stupid fast-punching, locking people up.
No, yeah, but like, because I mentioned Mortal Kombat earlier, and I was thinking about that when I was playing it. And then for some reason, like when it come to Battalion, I kept thinking of him as Sub-Zero. I don't know why, because he was like in the blue getup and stuff.
He was purple. Actually, no, that was blue. You're right.
No matter what, he reminded me of Sub-Zero. I just
and then your guy
weird.
Was Scorpion because he was yellow and...
Get over here.
I was red.
He also had yellow at him.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. I am... but I wanted to say that with the longer battles with the multiple waves of enemies, I love the executions recovered your health, because usually you'd get like a couple shield guys. My least favorite was the double sword guy. He was infuriating. All the big beefy guys that were dressed like wolves and stuff. Didn't mind them. Didn't mind the shield guys. But that one guy who had the double swords. But I would just, like, whenever my health was low, I'd go for, like, a little weak guy.
Pick on the weak ones.
Exactly.
See, on legendary difficulty, like, when you get hit, so, yeah, you can regain health with the executions. So, I guess we should explain this mechanic. Like I said, this is a third-person action game. When you get someone low enough health, they have an icon for you to do an execution, which, as we said, turns into a quick-time event. They flash a color, either yellow or blue. So you hit X or Y. All it really does is give you bonus XP if you do it, because either way, this person's dying. It's not like you get more bonus, whatever you're picking. So you have a perk system of when you execute someone, do you want to get bonus damage? Do you want to get bonus focus? Do you want to get health regen? Or do you want to get, what was the last one? Oh, bonus extra XP. Damage. I already said that one. It was bonus experience points. I forgot. But you got to pick that. And so, yeah, if you get hit, that's the way you heal, to switch your executions to heal you. But yeah, in legendary difficulty, I would have to kill 8 guys without taking any damage just to recover the health of one hit.
Oh, you did. It was so frustrating. You had to switch the D-pad to do that?
Yes, you didn't know that?
Do you know, I
oh my gosh, Liz.
No, but I knew, like, so the D-pad, I knew that there was one for, like, XP and stuff, but
yeah,
but what I'm saying is, like, I knew where they were,
yeah.
But I forgot which was which on some of them. And so, like, I did accidentally switch it a couple times. And then when I wasn't doing the executions, I would just, like, fumble with it. And I didn't even know. I was doing it, like, subconsciously. I didn't even know that I knew that it was there. Because I know I eventually went back to the executions. But I wanted to ask Keith, so what difficulty did you play on?
Probably the same as you, Soldier.
Yeah, so I didn't get any money. And you got money to upgrade.
Oh,
so
I assumed that was the...
Well, the money is premium currency. Okay. We should say that. So there is a premium currency. Well, I don't think it exists anymore. But in the multiplayer is just, it's a co-op PvE. So you're just playing with a friend in the Colosseum, fighting waves of enemies. There's like a couple different game modes, but essentially that's all you're kind of doing. You're just doing the Colosseum. So you have a different soldier that you progressively level up. And you can open loot boxes, or you can get them from rewards in the arena after completing a match. So you can essentially upgrade your soldier. But obviously, your soldier needs to be a certain level. So this is the kind of RPG element that I guess you're wishing for is in the multiplayer. Because, yeah, you got to equip different armor, different swords that have different perks to them. So that is an RPG element in the multiplayer.
And that was DLC, correct?
Nope. That was actually free.
There's,
but DLC,
there is DLC, right?
Yeah, there is. So on Game Pass, it's the Legendary Edition, which comes with the DLC, which was just cosmetic skins and some like decent.
So they just straight up have 2,000. And I know games can add more than 1,000, but they just straight up have 2,000 gamer score.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good question now.
That's why I thought, because for some reason, I could be making this up, but I could have sworn the multiplayer was DLC, like even if it was free DLC. Like
it, see, the reason I don't think it was, because I remember I owned the base game and I played the multiplayer then.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying, like a free LC type of thing. Like it's like it was an add-on to the game after the fact. It released as a solo, single-player game, and then they went, hey, let's just add this in. And that's why it's so uniquely different even. It was my assumption was like you have these varying weapons and leveling weapons and all these RPG type elements that they didn't put into the base game because it was like not an afterthought, but a second development almost. But I could be wrong. That was just sort of an assumption.
I mean, you might be right. Because this was
score and all that.
As I've obviously mentioned multiple times, this was an Xbox One launch game. So it's very possible that they were like, well, the game, the single player is done, but we want to do it. They're just like, screw it, we'll just add it later. So it is very possible because this was supposed to be they wanted to make sure this game came out with the console. Because this, as you can see, as we've talked before, and we'll get into the graphics, it's beautiful. And so this was supposed to be a hardware pushing kind of game. But yeah, no, it's very possible then, I guess, yeah, they probably just added a most free DLC, but I don't remember that. Cause I feel like I remember I played this pretty early in the Xbox One and I remember playing multiplayer, but I don't know. But,
wasn't Quantum Break one of those games that it was like new to console or the console was new?
No.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
It was new to... It was a new style. Quantum Break, actually, now I'm thinking about it. No, I don't think it was a launch game because that was the thing. When the Xbox One came out, it was called the Xbox One because it was supposed to be an all-in-one system. It was supposed to be your home entertainment thing. Mm-hmm. So that was so interesting about Quantum Break is that it was a TV show and a video game.
Oh, that's probably what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and so like, it was a new thing of its like era.
Oh, okay.
And I remember they showed it, but no, it wasn't a launch.
I wanted to bring up something to do with combat because we keep talking about how I read it online too. That's why I say we keep talking about it. A lot of people talked about how like the gameplay kind of got stale towards the end.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I can understand why, but there's some things in the combat that I actually thought were like really cool. So there was one point where you have the enemy, throwing projectiles at you, and the enemy's like, what?
No, keep going. This is actually the point I was going to bring up too, but
well,
go ahead.
Not throwing projectiles. They're launching projectiles at you. Is that why you laughed at me?
No. The archers, when you're in formation the soldiers, is that what you're talking about?
When you're up top. And there's like all of a sudden you see ladders popping up.
Oh, okay.
And I just thought it was such a cool thing that you just go and like they're climbing the ladder and you kick it and they're like, ah! And then you have like the wagons with like the mounted crossbows and you have the spears you can throw. But also there are those moments where you're commanding your army and there's a bunch of archers and you have your shields up.
Yeah.
So you walk really slow and then you see the archers. And then like I would try to shoot if I was too far away, I'd shield and you go forward and then you.
Yeah.
It took me a while to realize I was supposed to throw weapons. it happens quite a bit. It was the first time that I got to like a standstill. I'm like, can't move anymore. And then I realized that I was supposed to be attacking them too. I'm sure something popped up and I wasn't paying attention. But
well, this goes back to episode we had a couple of weeks ago or so of gimmicky things that were kind of in games. And so, like I said, since this was an Xbox One launch game, the Xbox One came with the Kinect, which had a microphone on it. So this was another thing that the game did of like, obviously, Microsoft's like, hey, we want to make sure you guys incorporate the Kinect some way. So that's why it had the voice lines. So I didn't test it out, but I'm assuming you could still wear a headset and maybe use the voice lines. But I remember even when I had the Kinect, I was like, this is stupid. Because, yeah, you're doing the formation and progressing, but like you're supposed to shout to your troops to throw spears or to fire the arrows. Oh. And that's why every once in a while it showed that, saying, like, open the cages, and you had to hold left bumper. Instead of using voice commands, you could hold left bumper.
Do you know what's embarrassing? From a as a noob, whenever that would come up, like, the left bumper, I would think that I wouldn't be able to do anything while I was doing it.
You were just standing still while holding left bumper.
So when, like, the ladder thing came up and, like, the enemies are charging me, I was like, maybe I can move.
So you thought you were, like, charging a spell?
And then so I started moving backwards away and doing it. I'm like, it's doing it at the same time. And it was a game changer.
Can you do something? She's a gamer.
Yeah. That's one of those things that I will tell you, Liz, that I didn't consciously realize it until probably about halfway through the game, but I think I had just been subconsciously, like, moving around and doing things. Like, I don't recall ever standing there waiting for it to go, but I also, like, didn't really, like, test the theory out until one point. I ran into a situation where I thought to try it. I think it was the one where I was riding on the back of the cart. I was like, I can shoot and hold this at the same time. I'm just going to hold left bumper the whole time. Because that's another little tip about that level as you're moving back. You don't have to repress left bumper every time. You just hold it down, and every time it repops up.
I figured that out too.
It would just keep it going. So that's a fun little trick. Yeah.
Yeah, with the crossbow on the wagon, that's when I realized that I could just hold it down.
But okay, I wanted to touch on, though, real quick, Andrew, because you were talking about, like, the gimmicky feature of, like, yelling at your Xbox or whatever. And take me back 15 years, or, well, I guess 10, 11 years. That it's cool, and it's way cooler when I'm 22 years old and I'm, you know, in my own apartment, and that's it, and I can yell at my TV at 1 in the morning. I got kids, man, and that's when I'm playing Xbox. I can't be yelling at my Xbox to
fire the arrows, open the cages.
What's that, Dad? Fire the spears? Like, no, not you. Get back to bed. No.
I wish Liz put a headset. I would love to see you yelling at the TV, Liz.
Shoot him in the crotch.
Do you know what? I used to get really annoyed with, I'll spell it in case somebody has one near them, but A-L-E-X-A. And I would, you know, ask her to do something and she would say she didn't get it. And a timer would not stop going off. And I'd be like, for the fifth time, turn off the timer. And so, like, I feel like that would be me. Like, they wouldn't understand me.
Probably.
I think that would happen.
Which because I remember doing it on the Kinect. It wasn't, it worked, I guess. But I remember constantly trying to, like, yell at my Xbox, fire the arrows! It just wasn't working.
I wonder if there's something with the way that I speak that she never understands me.
I mean, I never understand you.
I know. Same with, like, texting. If I'm texting someone, like, that's why I like phone calls. I feel like people don't understand what I'm saying.
You just said people don't understand your voice. So no, you but don't I'm text, saying
texting.
So you call.
Yeah. That makes no sense. I know. But for me, like, I just, like, if somebody asks me a question, like, oh, do you want to meet at the restaurant at 8? Which has never happened to me. I don't eat that late. But I don't want to be texting back and forth. Like, Andrew and his parents were trying to find each other. I think I said the story a couple years ago. Probably. On this.
You love this story.
But you guys were at that big, like...
Yeah, we're seeing an IMAX movie theater, which was in a furniture store.
A furniture store, but it was huge. Yeah, it was like an IKEA. Flipping huge. Yeah, and Andrew and his parents were texting. It must have been 30 minutes trying to find each other. And I'm like, just call them. Just call them. And guess what happened when he called them? They found each other.
Yeah, but that's also solved with an easy text. Hey, I'm going to stand right here in this one location, and you are going to come to me, or vice versa. We're not going to move around and text each other. And that's solved in one text message. It doesn't need a phone call.
Three people couldn't figure that out.
It still doesn't require a phone call. But
it did. No, Keith, it did, because...
Well, for them, I believe... I'm not saying I doubt that it shouldn't have required a phone call is what I'm really getting at, is what I should say. But I think, Liz, you basically just you have a double-edged sword, because people don't understand you when you speak aloud. They just don't understand your words. And then when you put it in text, they don't know what the heck you're saying. So yeah. Basically just you're doomed to have nobody.
I think I'm the problem.
I mean, I those are your words, right, and now. I did understand them.
I never thought about it like that. Like, maybe I'm just bad at communicating.
And I'm bad at listening.
You know, this podcast isn't just about games. It's about learning things about ourselves. That's what I really enjoy about it.
You had to say that when I had water in my mouth.
I was waiting for it because I knew you'd love that comment.
Yeah, because whenever I'm like, Andrew, are you listening to me? You always just say, what? And then the entire time I'm talking to you after, you're like, what?
And then you have to repeat yourself.
So but yeah. Anyways.
What were we talking about?
Rise. Son of Rome. That's what we're here for.
The voice commands.
All right.
Oh, audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a good transition to audio.
Andrew. I guess there's really not too much more against the combat. I gotta say, well, real quick too, every once in a while you get boss fights. They weren't interesting. There was nothing special about them. Like, you really
didn't have to do anything. No, they're more annoying than anything.
Yeah, you didn't have to do anything special mechanics. Instead of just like, oh, so your normal attacks are X, which is attacking with your sword, and Y, which is attacking with your shield. Attacking with your shield doesn't do a lot of damage. It just kind of staggers people to lower their defense so you can hit them with your sword. But basically with bosses, instead of just hitting Y, you got to hold Y, do a heavy shield hit, and then hold X to do a heavy sword strike. But that was like it. There really wasn't any fun, interesting mechanics when it came to bosses.
I didn't like the one. There's one that I had Andrew do for me. I didn't realize you had to deflect when he was red. And so, like, I was getting really frustrated. I
thought I had to eat his sword.
But, yeah, so, like, I do a lot of dodging. So whenever, like, a boss has, like, a double red attack, I just dodge, and then attack. And usually it works. But with this one, you had to deflect. Any game that we play, 1,000%, I want to dodge over deflect.
Which is very historically accurate. Roman soldiers were constantly rolling around fields. Mm-hmm.
Can you just look out and it was just
with
Sonic
their
the Hedgehog
super
all
heavy
over
armor,
which is one thing I've never looked it up. But any sort of Hollywood thing with like Roman soldiers, like they're always taking out and killing like 20 plus dudes. In reality, I feel like the average kill ratio is like maybe two guys. Because like I feel like, granted, they're obviously constantly doing physical activity. But like wearing heavy armor, I feel like just killing one guy is just got to be such a struggle because you got to break through their armor and then you finally kill them. Then I'd feel like I'd be like, oh man, I'm too exhausted. I'm going to have to sit for the rest of the battle. Like, I'm tired.
Yeah, because even if you're weightlifting, that's a lot of armor.
Yeah, and then not only that, a simple scratch from a sword and you're probably dead. Like, infections, like, just probably take you out like so easily. I mean even during the Civil War, you got hit in like the finger and they're like, oh, gotta take your arm off. So like I can only imagine it like Roman times. You probably just like stepped on a twig and it's like, oh, there goes your leg.
Well, also like that metal in the sun.
Yeah.
How many times did they accidentally burn their arms touching their chest plate? You know?
That's what it, yeah. So I've always wondered. Thank you for adding the owl there. Ow.
I do think that actually would be really entertaining to go back and it's really just a bunch of guys like, this is awful. I hate this. This is stupid. Nero,
they're just waiting.
Stuck
I'm hot. My metal armor. Like, that's actually real Rome.
None of them are actually really all that tough. They're just like, this sucks. God. Ah. Can you just, I'll kill myself. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm gonna take care of this. This sucks. I'll just jump off this cliff over here.
Yeah, because that's what I've always wondered, because like that's too like these, obviously, like any kind of Hollywood obviously dramatization of this stuff, it's like these battles of like 100,000 versus 100,000. It's like, that's like half the population. Like, you just wiped out half the population of that entire region. It's like, how do you keep fighting that way?
And also, like, whenever like the two armies connect in the middle,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, those like first two rows are going at it, but the rest of them are just like waiting.
Just
like
chilling.
You're like 100 rows back and you're
yes. Die already. I want my turn.
Yeah, you're just seeing everyone die and it's like, oh crap, I'm next.
It's my turn in line now.
Just sitting there reading
my
mama's
hot. Oh, yeah. Reading a tablet. I get it, Keith.
Yeah, you see what I
mean? Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's like the one historical point like I've never looked into. Like, I'm curious what the highest like soldier had the highest kill count. Like, what was his kill count? It was probably like 4, and then he died from a stubbed toe or something like that, from an infection. I know during medieval fights, they, like 90% of the battles were completely one-sided, and it was more of just the battles were more of just one side massacring another one, and it really wasn't that big of a standoff unless it was like a castle fight. Then those were standoffs. But yeah, Roman times, I don't know.
I mean, the Romans were probably pretty similar, and it was probably just the Romans kind of just decimating everything in their way. Because even in the game sort of shows like how they were treating the Britons of like, yeah, well, we have to, you know, torture the innocent people, because if we don't do that, they'll never listen to us. So we have to make them afraid of us. So I'm sure they just came in and used brute force on just about anything. I mean, that's history. That's what the British did. That's what the Mongolians did. That's pretty much how people do things in terms of all that.
Whole lot of murdering.
Yeah, it's usually not like, hey, everybody, I have this really good idea that if we all just get along, we'll all do good things. And everyone's like, and then they kill each other.
Thank you for keeping that in the video version there, Keith.
Right. I figured we'd give something for the Patreon. I would be interested, though, in terms of, I guess, what the reality of those battles are. Because, like, was... like 300. I think that's probably about the only one, if that's even a real battle or if that's just all mythology.
It was.
That was real. Because, right? So that one is like probably one of the only ones I can think of that's like pretty well documented that there was a pretty good standoff. But I imagine most of the times it was probably 3,000 to 150. And they just came in like, hey, dead.
But yeah, getting to the audio. I mean, we've already talked a bit about the voice acting. I think the voice acting in this game is really good. But to the sound effects, I obviously played this game a lot with headphones, and I thought it was really good. It did a really good job with the music. So to me, the audio was a really big win.
I didn't think it was anything special. I did pay attention. Like, the sound effects and all of that were pretty good. There was definitely points where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain this, but like you could tell it was studio produced sounds that just didn't, like the water running, like it sounded good.
You mean they weren't back in Roman times with a microphone?
Yes, water only ran. You only had running water in Roman times. There's no running water. My point being is just there are certain things like it just sounded like it was like it didn't feel like it melded super well, but it sounded good. And so I'm not really complaining. That would be a thing that I would say for a 2013 game, they did a very good job at. Sound mixing and all of that has come a long, long way beyond just people speaking. People have spoken for many years. Andrew, idiot.
I thought the audio was great. Only good things to say.
Really?
No, but I feel like I don't need to get into it because I liked all of it.
What did you think of the water list?
Except for that it was good.
We've heard all of our opinions on the water except for yours.
Well, the thing for me for water, it's probably the weakest point graphically in this game is the water. Which,
it's still not bad. In games for me.
I know, exactly.
It really did.
It's not bad water, but everything on this game, this game graphically.
There was one bad set of teeth in one scene, Andrew. It was one scene, and it was bad.
Hold on, male or female? I'm trying to think if I can remember who it is.
It was a man, and I think it was one of the evil brothers. So either, what is it, Commodus, Basilius, one of those guys. It was one scene.
Commodus must have been the older brother, right?
He was the gladiator. He was the one you had to cast free.
No, Vitalian was.
No, Commodus was.
Was it?
What?
Commodus was the one you had to free. He was the one that was captured by the Wicker Men.
No, Vitalian was.
Yeah, your commander was, but also Commodus was.
I guess maybe I just made up a weird connection in my head that it was Vitalian was the soldier because it rhymed with battalion.
Yeah, Vitalian is the soldier. He was captured. He was put in the Wicker Man, but Commodus was in a cage in front of the Wicker Man. Oh, okay.
I mixed up what you were saying.
I thought it was the other brother. They looked alike then.
Yeah,
So Vitalian was the older brother.
No, Vitalian is the commander. He is not related to the guys in Nero.
He's a good guy. He's Sub-Zero.
Yes, he was the one that was captured. Commodus and Basidius were the brothers.
So Basidius had to have been the older brother.
Basidius was the purple guy that you first meet in York, who was going to stab the king and then sends you on the mission.
The gladiator that you fight in the
is Commodus. He's the one you freed from the Wicker Man.
Got it.
Well, in front of the Wicker Man. He was the king.
So I did a really good job remembering all their names too.
I think it's funny. This brings me good. Thank you for reminding me. This game, whatever reason, is not on xCloud. I don't know why. I also found out Minecraft's not on xCloud, which is That's really weird. Yeah. But
I wonder
yeah,
if
it's
something
so,
to do with all the servers.
Maybe because it was just like, I nobody plays this game, so why do
so
it?
So you had trouble playing it this week.
Yeah, so I actually only got to play this game for like 3 hours, but like I said, I beat this game. So I think it's funny that I'm the one who's remembering a lot of this stuff.
No, because I remember I was telling you the story, and you're like, really?
Well, that's the thing. I strictly remember the beginning of this game and the end.
No, but what I'm saying is like you didn't like, until you started playing it, you were like, really? This happens to him? No, he doesn't die. And then you're playing and you're like, yo, he does.
Yeah. Like,
and there's another, oh, that you didn't remember the nudity.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
How did I forget that?
I know.
Which is, bring that back up again. Like, yeah, this game's pretty gory. Obviously, it's very M. But it is odd that it's just like this one scene of just like, yeah, you know, there's boobs everywhere. It's just like, okay.
It was like that game, that Russian game with the two twins. Like, all of a sudden, it was like,
the robots?
Yeah, I think they were robots.
Atomic Heart?
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
But they're not, they're robots and there's no like nipples.
Like, no, but like, I'm saying it was like, it was a random thing.
I guess, yeah.
The game. And there's metal on their nipples.
Yeah,
no,
they're just
robots.
Bolts.
They don't have.
They're just bolts. Balls.
No, in this game.
Oh,
but they've got little pasties.
Yeah.
I do like that there's an enemy. There's like the big barbarian guy that always has pasties on his nipples. I always saw them. It's the big guys with the shields. I'm like, man, those guys have like pasties on their nipples. Like, why? Who designed that?
Could they have maybe made like two different looking guys? Like,
yeah.
When you have five of the same looking guy coming at you and trying to stab you,
they all have pasties.
I wanted to bring up one thing graphically that I think it did a good job of leading you. Like, if you saw like the fabric over a ledge, you knew to go down or go up or whatever. There were a couple times though, especially I think there was like one area in the docks that I was like, I am a little lost. Or there's one time in the woods too where there was logs. There were like 4 or 5 logs around a fire. I'm like, which one did I come from? And so there were times where I was like, oh, kind of wish there was a little map here. But I also don't think it was that bad. I think they did a good job of like, you knew where you were going. There were a couple times where it's probably me. But
for the most part, there was like almost like a little built-in timer somewhere in the background. Like if you didn't get there quick enough, it would put up a little like eagle icon.
Yeah.
Or Commodore icon.
I appreciated that.
Yeah, that was like nice at points. But sometimes it would just be like, hey, here's like, you know, as the crow flies, that's where you need to get to. But I don't necessarily know. And I think there was only, I think it was the docks at the last mission where there was a weird spot where you had to like walk over what almost looked like a vertical wall of like wooden planks and stuff that like it just looked like it was a blocker, and then I walked and I was like, oh, it's sloped, but you can't really see the slope of it. But that was probably one of the few places I was kind of like stumped, I guess, a little on the map.
Also, there's one place, I mean, there's probably many, I probably missed a couple of like the vista shields, but there's a one point that I had two directions to go. I picked one that looked like it wasn't the right direction, and it was a dead end, and there was one there. So I didn't like that. I don't like when there's two directions and there's like collectibles that you know.
Oh, you don't want to miss
collectibles. I know. I'm being so nitpicky. I love this game. So I guess that's not something I would take points off of. But then like when I got to that point, I was like, how many trails did I miss? You know.
Yeah, I wrote those off. But one thing I did like graphically, and Andrew, you were telling like it was kind of one of your gripes as far as the executions. They got a little played, but I thought there was a good chunk of variety, and it was the use of the environmental ones that I thought were the coolest. Those were just, I always thought the most fun.
Yeah. No, they're very cool. I think the first time, like, this is obviously my second playthrough. So some of these executions I actually remembered. And so it's kind of like, that guy, it's just like, it's just what always annoyed me about the executions. It kind of takes you out of the gameplay because you're dodging, you're deflecting, you're attacking. But then when you go in these executions, it essentially stops the game and turns you into a quick time event. And that's when it's kind of like, okay, X. Okay, now I need to hit Y. Now I need to hit X. Okay, he's dead.
I got excited because that meant I was getting health.
And then I guess, and then you're invincible too. Like, no one can hurt you while you're doing it. But I don't know. That's just it. It just got a little tedious. But yeah, the achievements are okay. I guess I'd recommend this for achievement hunters because, you know, it's 2,000 gamer scores for the entire game. The game's only like 6.5 hours long. You could probably get about 1,000 within 8 hours. So about half of the achievements, so almost 1,000, not quite there, is multiplayer based, which obviously nobody's playing the multiplayer. You can invite a friend and still obviously play, but you can also do solo. You can actually go in these battles and just play multiplayer solo. So there's a handful of multiplayer achievements that are pretty easy, like visit every map, level your character up to a certain point, equip a certain item. Not too hard. So overall, I guess I'd recommend this game for achievement hunters. There wasn't anything too crazy fun, or the achievements were just okay. They were there.
Andrew, you got 975 out of 2,000 with 46 out of 76 achievements. Keith, 750 with 28 achievements. And I got 470 with 22 achievements. Yeah. But I'm assuming the last chapter is where I'd get a bunch.
Probably.
From ending the game.
But anyway, let's go to our final thoughts here. I'll go first. For me, like I said, Rise, Son of Rome. This is a must game, a definite game. It's a lot of fun. It's very short. This is a fun kind of palate cleanser. See, we've been doing so many cozy games recently that I was like, I want to do something with action. And this is, I've always thought about doing this game for like 2 years now. I'm like, at one point I should probably have him play Rise because I remember this game being fun. And so I was like, you know what? We've done a lot of cozy games and what's an action game? And this is a very simple one. It's very easy. It's not hard. It's the story's good. It still holds up really well. The only thing that shows its age, like I said, is some of the technical stuff of the gameplay. But besides that, it's a fun game, fun weekend, good palate cleanser. But this is a solid 85. But it's still, you should actually check it out.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's really, and it's not even like it's not for me because it really was. It was fun. I didn't feel like I had to get this big investment to get the max out of my gameplay. I overall really had fun. I think it just becomes a little bit of a tedious chore, you know, with everything kind of boiling down to these quick time events. And it sounds like if you're to play on the higher difficulty, you do get a little bit more engaged of your fighting, but at the same token, it still boils down to, in, you know, essentially playing between three buttons that you're just waiting for a timing event to happen. But that said, is I think that the gameplay is where we see the age of 2013 and where the evolution of what, you know, game mechanics and all of these things that have been added to really improve, you know, what they could do with this type of game. And so if Arise 2 were to arise, but I would play that because I would imagine that there would just be a lot more of that, you know, different mixing and matching gear and different skills and play styles, different weapons and things of that I would totally get on board with. So assuming all of that were to come through in another game, I would happily play it again. But I was content with my time with it. It's a game, but I don't know. I guess I don't know if I'd be rushing to tell people to play it personally. But a solid 80 still.
I'm going to give it a 90. I thought it was fun. I loved
it. You like yelled at us. I'm going to give it a 90.
I was excited. I just really enjoyed it. I think that there's so many games that like I don't end up finishing, which I didn't finish this one. But I just realized that.
The last chapter's like 30 minutes tops. Like, you should be able to finish that.
It's also me, though.
40. But, five.
But I think that with what they gave for the amount of time, like, I think a 90 is a great score for it. I thought, like, graphically, voice acting, everything I really enjoyed. And even though the story, like I said, it's predictable, like, you know what's going to happen, it was interesting enough that I didn't care. I didn't need a big twist or anything. Although I'm glad I didn't get to the scene that I would have been bummed about that I mentioned earlier. Looking at Metacritic, for Xbox One, 60 and 6.4. It's a bunch of bullcrap.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's that low.
No, people, I mean, the reviews didn't really have anything. I do know what it was when I was reading the reviews. A lot of them just sounded like so pompous. Like, this game is so beneath me, or like, that you can tell this is what was it with Xbox One coming out? It was just like, I don't know. There was a lot of just like pompous ones. And I don't usually see that.
Huh.
I think a lot of people were like turning down their nose at it, but they didn't actually have anything to say about it. Like, oh, like, the story sucked, but I will say there was one thing that a bunch of people did say is that, like, they kind of got a little stagnant towards the end.
Yeah.
Like, they were happy it ended, but, you know.
Yeah. And still surprising. That's very low. But anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. So thank you all so much for joining us. If you would like more of us, me and Keith were on guest episode on Superpod Saga podcast. Episode 90, where we talked about roguelikes. That was fun. So if you want to hear more from me and Keith, go check out that episode.
I should do that.
You won't, though. If you don't even listen to this podcast, Liz.
Well, no, and that makes sense. I mean, I listen really occasionally, but not too frequently to ours. But I was starting up the Superpod. I did want to listen to how that came out. I was curious. And Liz, if anything, that's one to listen to, because, you know, you don't have the excuse of having to listen to yourself. It's
No, I really would enjoy listening to it. That's why I don't like listening to our podcast, because I don't want to hear myself.
Especially... And we talk about platypuses quite more than I ever would have expected to going into that episode. So now I would say I would prepare if we're ever asked back, but I don't know I don't think that's going to be what we talk about. So I just don't know. But that's see how fast I can Google facts about platypuses.
It was an interesting topic.
I just remembered. I have a flashback now, like being in school and I had to draw a platypus. And I found, like, a picture, and it was really hard, and I forget which one of my parents I roped into helping me.
It's like a beaver with a duck bill.
That was a good story, Liz.
I don't know where that came from.
Really good story.
I don't think it was a dream. I think it really happened.
Nobody implied that it was a dream. We just said it was a really good story.
I'm going to call my mom and be like,
but what if your mom didn't help you draw the platypus? Maybe she wouldn't know.
I mean, she goes... to bed at like 7, so
I don't know what that
remind
to do
me
with
remind plane. Me to ask her tomorrow, Andrew.
She's gonna think you're high. She's like, why are you asking about if I helped you draw a platypus?
Imagine if it was one of those weird things that we both remembered,
like you and your mom.
I bet it was her. I bet it was her.
Weird. There's a lot of things like I remember that my parents also remember.
But anyway,
I'm very confused. Sorry, Liz. I'm not. I feel like I'm being.
I'm just like I'm in my own world, like thinking about it.
Anyway, continue my outro. Come join our Discord. Go to gamebestgrabbag.com or our link tree GBGB. Join our Discord. Talk in our Discord. You can level up your account and get some free rewards. I'm sending out some shirts and mugs right now to some listeners who've been on our Discord. Which Liz is wearing one of them right now. If you're on the video chat. On the video channel here, but
I'm slouched.
But thank you so much to our Patreon members, Javier, Kel. Thank you guys for your support. Thank you, Thomas from Germany, for your donation as well. You guys help keep us going. We love doing this. I've been your hardcore gamer host, Andrew. You can find me on Xbox Live, Firebird 0952.
You know, I was gonna say we should, shout out the people who are getting the awards for participating in our Discord, but it's also our Patreon members. It's Javier and Cal. So thank you.
Some people are close to getting the sticker awards though. So
okay.
There are other people that are closer.
That sounds good. That sounds good. But otherwise, I've been Keith, and that was my outro.
I'm Liz Noob Gamertag. Come on, I'm Dean. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Liz Noob. Noob is EW.
Oh, and also, too, speaking of shirts, me and Keith also tested out a shirt.
Yeah, go check out our Keith, X.
Yeah, which Twitter. Keith isn't wearing it right now, though.
You're yelling at me for not wearing it. You are literally not. Oh, did you not get yours yet?
Well, I did buy myself one. I figured I was going to wait for you and see if we needed to do a redo, because the shirt Liz is wearing has a error on it. So I was like, well, this is why I don't buy multiple. I wait to get one.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Well, so and I didn't realize that I was the only one with one, or I would have been more sure to be wearing it. I was planning to, but either way, you don't see from where it is on camera. So, yeah. It is awesome, though. It's from the finest Gildan material.
But thank you all so much for joining us. We love you all. We'll see you again next week.
Bye. Okay.